And this way you don't have to try and stress over reading it in the dark, because that's impossible for even charismatics. But let's turn to Psalms 34:3. And I'm going to read, while he's pulling that up, I'm going to turn to Psalms 95:1. And these two sections in the Psalms specifically are invitations to worship. And I want you to just think about this for a second, because when we send out our emails for everybody on a praise and worship night, I'm always curious how that's received. Like, oh, hey, it's a night off for the preacher. This is great. Or, oh, well, it's a bye week, kind of like in baseball or something like that, you know, or something like that. And if that's the way you feel, it's sad, because that's not the way the Bible would see this. And it's actually a call to worship that requires a sense of obedience. And before you read Psalms 34:3, I'm going to read Psalms 95:1. And it says in Psalms 95:1, it says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord, and let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, because God is great. He's a great king, and he's above all gods." So this is the call to worship, right? It's an invitation. It's God's email before there was really a digital footprint. And then Psalms 34:3, what does that say? You can read that together. Ready? Go.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together.
Do you hear that phrase, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me"? Did anybody's minds jump to the Gospel of Matthew or Luke and hear how the songs that were there even in that New Testament Gospels? "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." You know, that's been the cry of churches all together for centuries upon centuries. "Oh, magnify the Lord together with me." And hopefully that's what's happening tonight all over the city. People gathering in homes and churches just like this for the sole purpose of magnifying the Lord. Not magnifying a person, not magnifying a religion, hopefully, but magnifying what? The Lord. So before I read a couple of the other sections of Scripture, I'm going to have Brian go to Deuteronomy chapter 16. We're going to reference something in the Old Testament that's obscure. Most of you probably have never read this, but we're going to go there in just a couple seconds. Why I'm doing this is because before worship tonight, I felt like the Lord asked me, "What are you bringing?" And I saw in my mind this little thing played out. A club, and nobody was able to get through these doors unless they knew the password, or they paid off the, you know, the doorman or something like that, kind of the secret password to get into the party. And in essence, God is at the door and he's saying, "What'd you bring?" Because if you didn't bring anything, you can't get in. And it really isn't as just wide open as you think. It's not just bring something. Like when you show up and you didn't bring anything, kind of like you didn't plan for a test at school, but you showed up so you answer all the essay questions with the essay question. Do you follow me? Anybody ever do that? Josie just did a guilty smile. Her and I know exactly what we're talking about right there, because that's how I answered a lot of them. You can't do that here. What'd you bring? I brought my shoes because it's holy ground, Lord Jesus. Thank you. I brought my shoes. No, you didn't. You wear your shoes everywhere. In order to bring something, you had to plan far in advance what it was you were going to intend to set aside and bring. So then I go to this section of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 16, and we're going to highlight verse 11, and then we'll skip down and we'll highlight verse 14. So Deuteronomy 16, you got that up there? Awesome. It says, "You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male servants, your female servants, your goats, basically everything." Look at this right there. Highlight this in your mind, because at the very beginning, when God had to teach an entire race of people how to worship, what did he teach? Did you catch it? He taught everyone in the family should worship. Everyone. This isn't big people time. This is everybody in the house. That means mama, daddy, baby. That means everyone. I tell you, I love it when I see like Becky back there with baby pack. baby pack worshiping God, you know what that leads to? That leads to, as soon as that little kid can lift that head and lift those arms, you will probably see, there's a high chance you're going to see that kid doing this. You are. Why? Because we're following the pattern that God taught early on. If you're a people of God, you teach all people, every age bracket, to worship the Lord. And so never fall into the deception of compartmentaling your family. This is daddy praise time. Oh, baloney. It's everybody praise time. Mama, baby, everyone. And so, how many of you have grown up in the church and you know this because when you were little, your mama smacked the back of your head when you weren't worshiping? Mm-hmm. That's it. That was me. My mom had a stealth, like, needly finger pinch. And if I was distracted, if I was like zoning out, you know, and I didn't even have the distractions like little handheld games and a smartphone. Lord Almighty, if we had smartphones when I was a kid, I wouldn't have survived. My mama would have killed me right at the altar. Sometime in the church, she said, "You ain't making it out of church tonight." And because every time I was distracted in church, I expected it. If it hadn't happened, I just knew it. And suddenly my ears would be boxed, they'd be twisted off, and she'd be, "You lift those hands." Well, God doesn't want like an uncheerful gift. Stop that. Lift those hands. I mean, yes, ma'am, Jesus, I love you. But I'm actually just scared to death of my mama right now. And you just lifted your hands. But here's what was going on. My mom was teaching me the form so that at some day I could contain what I was supposed to contain. I didn't learn that. Kids are born and they don't know how to worship. They have to be taught. They have to be taught how to worship. And that's what these environments are for. So as we continue to read on, it says, "You, your sons, your daughters, your male servants, your female servants, and all the priests who are within your city gates, even strangers." Isn't that great? "Even visitors in your house." Don't ever call Pastor Ben and think you're going to get off scot-free by saying, "We got guests in town, so we're going to have to skip church tonight. You know, they don't really know what we do." Bring that stranger into the church. Let him experience what you love. That's a good thing, right? If it's not a good thing, you don't do it either. So bring in the stranger, bring in the oddballs and let them do that. Bring in the fatherless, the widower, the widows who are among you at the place where the Lord God chooses to make his name abide. Man, praise the Lord. Mark this in your mind, because anytime you hear someone say, "I don't need to go to church to worship," just smack them in the face. Smack them in the face and take them to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 11 and be like, "You just tell Jesus that." You just tell Jesus that. You tell him you don't have to worship where he puts his name. Because he's the one who taught the people of God in the first place to come out and be separate. That's what church means, called out ones. Isn't this good? I'm telling you, this is some preaching right here. Churches in Green Bay need to hear this stuff, because gone are the days of God's Spirit just saying, "You can just worship all by yourself in your little room." It's true, but we have gone such extremes. Come out, be separate from your day. Gather with the other believers and be taught how to worship God in a new way, not just what comes natural to you. Ooh, that's some good preaching right there. Amen. Troy, I'm going to tell you something. When you learn to love, where's your wife at? Over there. When you learn to love Jamie, I bet you had some natural abilities of just loving, you know, caring and that. But I bet you at some point in your relationship, she had to take you to school and teach you how you needed to love her. She's nodding in her spirit right now. "I'm still teaching." And he's flunked like 2 grades. He's repeating them. No, whatever. See, we do not know how we're supposed to love naturally. God has to teach us. That's so apparent in our life and our relationships, but it doesn't stop. In our spiritual relationships, God has to teach us how to love him. We don't tell him how we're going to love him. He's told us how we're to love him. So I say all of that to say this is just a snapshot of the way we're supposed to love on the Lord tonight. Amen. Have you got anything out of this little preliminary teaching yet. Mikey, you and I, we're having fun. Everybody else, they came for the cookies. So you and I, we's enjoying this, right? Here's what it is that the Bible would teach us that we're supposed to do. Psalms 47:7 says that we're supposed to praise and bring our worship to the Lord with understanding. You got to bring your mind. So imagine with me back at that illustration. You're at the door and God stops you and says, what did you bring? What'd you bring for me tonight? Bring your mind. And that means bring all of your focus, bring all of your attention, bring everything, bring your mind. And sometimes you've had a long day. You're tired. Your mind is wanting to go to sleep and veg on Netflix or whatever. But no, if you come to worship, bring your mind. Worship the Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says it in a similar way. It says worship in spirit and with the understanding. Worship with your mind. Amen. I remember one young guy that we were working with. I was meeting with him at 5 o'clock in the morning for prayer times. And we would just worship and pray together. And one day he was asleep. And when I woke him up, we laughed and joked about it. And he goes, man, I needed to sleep. You know, maybe it was like a spiritual sleep. I was like, yeah, that's funny. No, because, you know, Pastor Ben didn't drive all the way across the city to pick you up just so you could sleep in the church. And I said, but I'm glad you got some rest. Next time, wake up. So, and I'm going to kick you, you know, because you have to be awake. Bring your mind. Okay, so in Psalms 111, verse 1. Look at this. It says to bring your praise and worship with your whole heart. Your whole heart. So Psalms 111. If you come tonight, what did God say? He said, what'd you bring me? What could you say to him? I brought you my whole heart tonight, God. I brought you my whole heart. And what does the whole heart represent? In the Jewish mindset, what does it represent? Anybody know? It's the seat of your mind, will, and emotions. It's really the core of your conscious self. It's all this package. And God says, if you're going to come and worship me tonight on a Wednesday night, young people, bring your whole heart, your mind, will, and emotions. And I don't know if it's ever been in your home with a parent or with friends. Have they ever had to tell you to knock off one attitude and kind of take on another attitude? Have you ever had that? In relationships, you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Sometimes as a girlfriend, you got to tell your boyfriend, knock it off. You're acting like a jerk today. And I'm going to go play with so-and-so unless you change your attitude. And then if the boyfriend's listening, the boyfriend changes his attitude. Or vice versa, the girlfriend. And I'm not even going to go there because girls can be all over the map on emotions. So we're staying away from that one in Jesus' name. Since I live with only girls. I mean, wow. But sometimes when you come into church, you have a funky attitude. I don't know. Maybe your boss yelled at you. Maybe you yelled at your boss. I don't know. Maybe your car just got hit in the church parking lot. And then, by the way, I need to meet with somebody in a green. Because of what happened in church right away. And so what? Sometimes you have to just say, all right, enough is enough. I had pouty poopy time all day today. Now's church time, and I refuse to let that garment be worn into this place. And so I'm going to put on a garment of praise. I'm going to change my attitude, put on my happy face, smile, and I'm going to lift my hands, and I'm going to worship God because that's what I've brought. I brought my whole heart. Amen? Oh, that's some good preaching. Psalms 51, there's four more that I'm going to say, and we are going to break into worship, okay? Here's the next couple things that God says bring. He says bring your mouth. Bring your mouth. Did you know you're supposed to bring your mouth to church? Not the talking during church, like with each other about sports and fishing or whatever. No, you're supposed to talk to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Talk to each other about God. You have all the other time in the week to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Waxing eyebrows, clipping toenails, breath. I don't know, whatever you want to talk about, job, stock market. But when you're at church, you bring your mouth to do one thing. Magnify the Lord with your mouth. Talk about Jesus. You spend all the time talking about. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what he's done for you. Talk about what he's done for someone else. That's what you use your mouth for. Amen. Psalms 51:15 says that. Oh, and then here's here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I have been serving the Lord for many, many years. And some of you in this room been serving the Lord longer than I have. You've lapped me a couple times maybe. But here's what I read. When you come and you bring something to the Lord, one gift isn't enough. God has said that every time you come, you bring another gift. Every time you come, you bring another gift. Why? Because here's the dynamic. In Psalm 71:14, he says that we're supposed to bring more and more and more and more. It's different trajectory than less and less and less and less. Ooh, I like that. Look at that. But I'm going to praise you yet more and more. That means it's on an upward growth track. When you come to praise and worship the Lord, it is easy to maintain a status quo or diminish. That is not the nature of bringing anything to the Lord. He wants you to bring all these other things, your understanding, your heart, your mouth, but he wants you to bring it in more and more portions. More and more portions. And you never get off of that requirement. God wants more. He's a jealous God. He's not satisfied with just a little bit of your heart last week. This week, he wants more of it. That's impressive, isn't it? I remember when I was first learning about how to profess love to my wife or anybody, you know, when love is an issue, you don't do it just once and in one way. You have to show and talk it in many, many ways. Or all of us men could just say on our wedding day, I love you and I promise to, you know, cherish you and honor you and all that. And then we'd never have to say any of that again. And it doesn't work that way because you have to convince over and over again. And if you convinced one way yesterday, it isn't going to be convincing tomorrow. You have to come up with a whole new system of overwhelming with evidence, I really cherish you today. And that's the way God says, when you come in to worship me, do not just go to your comfort zone in worship. He wants fresh sacrifice. Right? And for some of us, that means just leave your chair. For goodness sake, just leave your chair. And God may look at that and go, that's the biggest sacrifice I've ever seen in my whole life. Oh, my gosh. And the whole time he's looking over at Pastor Ben and he's a dead vegetable on the front, on the ground, just going, and he's going, I need more, buddy. I need more. You ain't even started yet. You know, it's very relative. God sees the heart. He wants fresh sacrifice and bringing more. Ha ha. Are you guys feeling like you're ready to like bring something to the Lord yet? I feel like I want to praise and worship. Here's the next two things. Last two things. Psalms 35:28 says that you need to do this throughout your day. So there's an aspect of this that happens when we're together, and you don't bring a worship band with you all the time. Well, normally we don't. That would be very much like Mary Poppins and the drum and the boom, 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 boom. And it's hard to work and have a life with that. But what it means is there's a melody that you sing in your heart. And you have to, at times, spend a little bit of conscious effort directing that melody. Or you may lose that song. And throughout the day, you've got to every now and then come back to that refrain. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just love you. And sometimes I'm making eggs and I'm going, praise the Lord for eggs. And that's not a Psalms. It's not a nothing, but it's something in my heart. Or I'm out on the bay and I'm going, oh, this is beautiful, Lord. And nobody knows what's happening and everything like that. I even was singing a song about ice cream today to the Lord. You may think that is as dumb as all get out. But I'm telling you, whoever came up with ice cream, that was a God invention. And I just want to say thank you for the wisdom and all of that. And there are so many things we can praise the Lord for and thank the Lord for. And it's contagious. You gotta cultivate that song all day long. It's not always a happy song. Sometimes it's a mournful, repentant song. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I love you. Lord. And you just begin to. And you know what? I've done. The other day I was walking through Walmart and I was singing and I didn't realize I was singing. Two things are amazing about that. One of them is I was in Walmart.
He knows. Look at this. This is a man who knows me. Walmart is like the bane of my life. I hate Walmart. But, you know, it's a happy face. See, I don't know what to say about that. And I did not realize I was just worshiping the Lord. And it was such a funny thing. But there's a song in my heart, and I want to cultivate that. Amen. Do you have a song in your heart? If you got a song in your heart that you've sung to the Lord from time to time, would you just stand with me? I know I do. I got a song in my heart. Sometimes they're silly songs. Sometimes they're sad songs. Sometimes they're happy songs. Here's the thought I want us to end this little prelude to worship and praise. In Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to turn there. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, look at that. Oh, I forget I have glasses on. Oh, and then I also need to remember my thing. 16, yes. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16. A very popular scripture that you've probably heard many times. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Anybody know what admonishing means? It's that wonderful building up and edifying of each other through the things that we sing. How long has it been since you've been in a worship service where you walked away edified? If it's been a long time, then you come to the right place on the right night because you're here to be built up and admonished. Just praise the Lord right now. If you needed to be built up and admonished in the Lord tonight, then this is exactly what you do. So I'm going to ask you a question. What did you bring to the Lord tonight? Would he let you in the door? Did you bring something? Did you bring your heart? Did you bring your mind? Did you bring all of you? Are you bringing more and more? Are you going to bring that mouth and praise him? Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just ask in your name, Lord Jesus, I ask for you to baptize every single one of us in the spirit of power and authority. Let your Holy Spirit just fall like a rain on this place. Lord, open up heavens and pour out from heaven your spirit in our hearts and in our minds to the point where we can't contain. I ask specifically that the songs that are in heaven right now, magnifying you, we begin to echo them in our heart tonight. Let the praise that is started in your throne room be picked up in our radio right now. Let us hear it. Let us begin to echo it in our mind. Let us echo it in our soul. And let the freedom that is in your throne room ring out in our hearts in Jesus' name. That's my prayer tonight. And now I want to challenge you. I want you to step out. I want you to find a place to really focus on the Lord and bring everything you plan to bring. Bring it to the Lord tonight as we just get into praise and worship. Amen.
Yeah.